Yesterday, as soon as the verdicts in the Rodney King case were handed down, community and political leaders gathered at the First African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Central LA, which has been a focal point for the African American community. Mark Whitlock is the president of the church's men's club. He was on the street most of the night trying to keep peace. He was on alert since the mid-afternoon.
The night began, Terry, for us at about 3 o'clock. Yesterday afternoon, when we first heard rumor that the jury would come in, and then, of course, after we heard the decision by the jury in the evening, of course, escalated into things that we couldn't describe or envision, and not in our lifetime. Beginning at about 5 o'clock, we started to begin to organize the community for a massive rally that we had here at First AME Church, where some 2,000 people met inside the church, and then outside of the church we had well over 1,500 people gathered around the church on the outside microphones to listen to the mayor of the city, Tom Bradley, the presidents and executive directors of the NAACP, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Urban League, as well as the Brotherhood Crusade, and of course we had different politicians and community leaders come out.
Let me ask you to describe where the church is located and what happened in the neighborhood since the verdict.
Well, our church is located in South Los Angeles, in a multicultural community. We have Hispanics, Koreans, or Asians, and we have African Americans. After the rally, of course, well, not only after the rally, but during the rally, we had on the outside some half a mile from us, one Korean store owner, liquor store, was ransacked. People went in and stole food and liquor. We had a service station about 300 feet from there. One of their gas tanks, I assume, was ignited, and that fire caused the fire across the street, which burned an apartment building that was about 200 apartments, and then that fire then spread down the street to several other stores. So it was complete chaos, calamity for, again, the rebellion against the decision that took place yesterday.
Were you, I know the church was trying to organize patrol groups to help cool things off during the night. Did you participate in that?
Yes, I have been assigned by Pastor Murray to head our security force here, and we did have some 100 men in the streets to intervene or to act as emissaries of peace, where we, of course, would stand between the police and the community. The police, of course, doing their job, lined up in a formation much like an army, and to quell the emotions by a sign of force. That sign of force was not received very well by the community, where we saw rocks and metal cans and other debris being thrown at the police.
Can you describe for me one of those specific moments where you feel like you successfully intervened?
I can't give you one specific moment. I can tell you that the police were out there for 3 hours, and so were we.
Mm-hmm.
So with a police force of some 30 to 40 people lined up in one row, batons out, their buckle that goes over the gun was open, I would tell you that as they were lined facing the crowd and debris was being thrown at them, we had another line in front of them, and then, of course, between those individuals who would cause harm, not only to the police, but possibly to some other people within the community that would be in their way. So we stood between the two and, again, began to mediate between the two.
Now, there's a dusk-to-dawn curfew that's gone into effect. Do you think that that's a good idea?
I think government has nothing to government can only come up with those plans that seem feasible. But when you use with, when you're dealing with human emotions, and certainly I think you would agree, and most of your listeners would agree, that curfew doesn't mean a damn thing. I mean, nobody's going to respect the law, or not the law, we're not going to respect those who have disrespected us for so long. So I don't think it's going to help much. It might give the police officers the right to, again, treat members of our community in a way that they feel is appropriate, and probably, in this case, excessive force.
What about the National Guard? That's a possibility, too, of the National Guard.
Our real concern is the National Guard. I think if you look at anything from the Watts Rebellion in 1965, it was the National Guard, rookie Army people who come into our community prepared to kill, nervous about the fear of their own safety, and through their fear, could possibly cause the loss of life.
What are your plans for tonight? Do you know yet? Will you be patrolling
again? Same plans that we had last night. We have organized again. We have a group of men who will go into the parameters that we have set here at First AME Church and deal with the community and deal with our neighbors and say to our neighbors that this is our community. We don't need the police to police us. We can certainly police ourselves. We can certainly maintain peace without being disruptive for our families, the businesses in our families, and certainly the members of our community.
You know what I think mystifies a lot of people and angers a lot of people, too, is why the anger ends up getting taken out on the community that the people are from.
Because it's easier to do it within your own community. It's easier to understand. The people understand your frustration. There is no fear of the unknown. People would like to talk about what they've done successfully, have done within the community as a result of what happened yesterday. So when they go into a store and steal, their friends see them, and then they can go back home, and then they can brag about it. Or they go and they have a fight within their community, they can go back and brag about it. It's unfortunate, but it is true. We certainly don't want to see that happen in our community. In many cases, it's easier to beat up on your own, somebody you know, than to beat up on the unknown.
You have a new police commissioner who will be coming in soon, Willie Williams, who has been the police commissioner in Philadelphia. What's the general feeling about him in Los Angeles and in your community?
Well, the decision is out. The new police chief designate, Willie Williams from Philly, seems to be able to handle himself rather well in front of groups of people. He seems to be a great spokesperson. His track record certainly speaks of good qualifications, and we look forward to what he has to offer to the city of Los Angeles. But the jury is out. We don't know what he will be like once he's under the fire, or once he's in the seat. I think we'll be able to best talk to that in a year. It's just great to see a police chief who looks like an African-American. We just hope that he thinks like an African-American. And if you look at Clarence Thomas, who sits on the Supreme Court, those who look like us, talk like us, don't necessarily believe in the same things that we believe in and may not have our best interest in mind.
You're obviously very angry right now.
I'm not angry at all.
Oh, I thought you were very angry about the verdict.
I'm not. I'm very upset, but I'm not angry.
What's the difference?
Well, I think anger is uncontrolled. I think anger is not directed. I think we have a plan here at First AME Church to deal with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry yesterday. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was asking you how you felt. You were
personally
focusing. Yeah, focusing your feelings.
Yesterday, after the verdict came in, I was extremely angry. I was disappointed. I was frustrated. But now it's clear that we must not only get involved with the political process, but we must mobilize people community to get deeply involved with the political process. From there, we must begin to garner economic support. I mean, if we don't own, then we have no real power in this country. So we speak of building black businesses. We speak of African-American youth going to college so they will be qualified to go into business to employ those so we can have our own. Because we're not, I mean, the sentencing that's in the verdict that came down yesterday clearly speaks to the injustice that African Americans have suffered for such a long time, and it doesn't appear that it's going to change. So we cannot depend on government. We cannot cannot depend on the law to be an advocate for African Americans, to look for justice. We must now look to ourselves.
Do you think that there are a lot of church members who are afraid right now about what's going to happen tonight in their neighborhoods?
I think there are a lot of people in the city of Los Angeles that are afraid. I think the entire Los Angeles County, the entire Southern California area, probably those around the country are concerned about what took place, because I think not only were African Americans disappointed, but I believe that many white people were equally disappointed, equally outraged, because you had to be blind not to see how this man was treated by the LAPD. If your eyes saw the same thing that my eyes saw, then you would have to know that these men used excessive force, that not one man decided to take Rodney King by the arm and simply restrain him. No, they beat him. They beat him for a long time, and then they finally tried to restrain him. But maybe people didn't see what I saw. I know what I saw, and my eyes will not deceive me, and neither will my mind let me not believe what I saw.
Will there be a service tonight at the church?
There will not be a service. We're having meetings, and we'll be convening as we did last night. And we will be sending men out into the community.
When do you plan on getting some sleep? I know you've been up since the verdict.
Yeah. I'm sure God will take care of me in that, and I'll be all right.
Listen, thank you very much for your time, and I wish you the best.
Thanks, Terry.
Mark Whitlock spoke to us from the First AME Church in South Central L.A. He's the president of the church's men's club and the head of its security patrol. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.